This morning, what I wanted to do is spend a little time talking to you from the 46th chapter of the book of Psalms. And so you might want to go ahead and open your book there, your Bible there, while we get started. I guess you might say that we live in times that are uncertain, even troublesome. And this is not new. Since 9/11, we have become more and more accustomed to the threat of terrorism. We've also seen some violence across our land, and in some respects, we're not as surprised as we once were, even violence in our nation's schools. Aside from that, there's the growing deterioration of moral values that we see happening in the world around us. Sometimes these things do not come to the forefront of our minds as once they might have, in that we have become more desensitized to these things because of the environment in which we live. But, you know, we're not the only ones who have experienced challenges, and serious challenges at that. When you think about the birth of our nation itself, you recognize that it only occurred through facing serious challenges. Thomas Paine, for example, wrote that these are the times that try men's souls. And in writing that, he also mentioned the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot, saying that these will shrink in the hour of difficulty, but the one who stands in his faith will be the one who is remembered. Tom Brokaw coined a phrase, the greatest generation, and that to describe the former generation of ours not too many years ago, who faced not only the challenge of the Great Depression, but also faced the problem of the Second World War. And these men and women who did that are to be admired and appreciated. But the Bible itself also talks about those who have endured challenges. And I've chosen to begin our lesson by focusing on a king, a good king. His name is Hezekiah. He became king when he was about 25 years of age. And he was king over Judah at a time that was growing more and more difficult. He chose, rather than to follow the pattern of his evil father Ahaz, instead to walk in the ways of David, and did right according to the ways of the Lord, according to 2 Kings chapter number 16, or 18 rather, verse 3. Oftentimes in the descriptions of the kings, there would be little epitaphs to describe their life in an overall manner. And as we look at the epitaph of King Hezekiah, it is remarkably positive. The scripture says in that same chapter, beginning at verse 5, he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among all those who were before him, for he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. As good as he was, however, his faith was put to the test. If you remember your Old Testament story about Hezekiah, you remember that the Assyrian army under King Sennacherib invaded the land of Judah, and were bent on destroying nation after nation. And they conquered city after city. They even besieged and conquered Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, and carried all the inhabitants away into bondage. And finally, they came even to Jerusalem itself, which they besieged. Hezekiah and all of his people in the city. Ancient Assyrian records describe the fact that the city of Jerusalem was shut up like a bird in a cage. If you were to look at this, you'd say, yes, it was a very stressful, even a troublesome time for the people of God. But as you know, Hezekiah turned to the Lord and brought the threats of the evil king before God in prayer. And God answered the prayers. And as a result of that, an angel of the Lord delivered their people, and the Assyrians returned to their homeland in defeat. Well, why do we read this? There are so many other good stories we could refer to teaching us the same thing about trusting God in troublesome times. Well, the reason we do that is because many believe that events of Psalm 46 occur in the historical backdrop of the events that we have described concerning Hezekiah. But I want to go ahead and read Psalm 46. I hope you have your Bible and you can read along with me as we study this. The scripture says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's a wonderful, wonderful passage of comfort and strength. But what can we learn about it so far as handling difficult times? The first thing we learn is this. We must believe that God is present, especially in troublesome times. Some say, where is God in this crisis? Why doesn't he intervene and solve these problems? Now, some ask these questions honestly and sincerely. Others seem to ask them only for the purpose of discounting faith in God in order to make themselves less accountable before him because of their lifestyle. It's amusing to me that someone who doesn't believe in God should use God as the person they blame for their problems. But be assured of one thing. God is here. God is with us in every heartache, in every grief, in every anxious moment we experience in this life. The psalmist says simply, God is our refuge. When he says he's a refuge, the language he uses here is a word that describes taking shelter in a rainstorm. Maybe you've been caught in a sudden downpour. You don't just stand there arguing about why it has happened or why you got caught in it. You head for shelter. This is what it means to take God as our refuge. You run for shelter. He's our refuge. In the land of Palestine, there were many caves. And if you're familiar with David's life, you know that many times he would hide in caves in order to escape the wrath of King Saul, who was trying to kill him. Some would look at a cave and say, that's a place of refuge to get out of the storm. Some would look at a cave and say, no, that could be a trap. And once you get in, how do you get out? There's only one escape. But the fact of the matter is, God is our refuge. And when we flee to him for refuge, he protects us. The psalmist said in Psalm 62, on God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. The psalmist says, God is our refuge. But he also says, God is our strength. That's kind of interesting because Isaiah, who was a contemporary of Hezekiah, also said that God gives strength to the weary, Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 29. And then he goes on with these very comforting words, that those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. In fact, he says, they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And so we can see a connection between strength and refuge. God is not merely a refuge. He is our refuge. God is not merely give strength. He is our strength. In fact, it is when we take refuge in God that he becomes our strength. And he does not become our strength until we take refuge in him. Now, concerning the idea of strength, it's interesting to notice that he is our strength. This describes our security. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's found in verses 7 and 11. He is our fortress. Some versions have a stronghold. But it's interesting to notice that Martin Luther, when he wrote that famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing," that he was inspired to write that by this particular psalm. So we want to be strong. In order to be strong, we need to take refuge in God. David prayed, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings." How do you become strong? You take refuge in God. When we want to describe someone who is strong, what words do you use? Do you say, "Well, he's as strong as a bowl full of jelly"? No. You might say, "He's strong as a rock." That's what we mean. But the third description here, he says that God is a very present help in trouble. Trouble is a colorful word. It's intense inner turmoil. God is a very present help in times of trouble. It's a word that is used of anguish that people felt when their city was besieged by an enemy. We can only imagine that. It's a word used of a mother and going through labor concerning her first child. Again, intense trouble. The marginal note in my Bible says tight places. God is a very present help when we are in tight places. You know, Hezekiah was in a tight place. In fact, we might say that he was kind of like between a rock and a hard place. So what do you do when that happens? You trust in God. And God is the very present help in the tight places that we face in this life. In Psalm 94 and verse 17, the psalmist said, "If the Lord had not been my helper, my soul would have soon abode in the abode of silence." Someone asked him in Psalm 121, "From whence cometh my help?" The answer in the next verse is clear. "My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth." So take the word present, underline it in your Bible, magnify it a bit in some way, and ask yourself the question, where is God in my struggles? He is present. He is there in every heartache, in every loss, in every setback, because he's our refuge, and he's our strength, and he is our very present help. We can handle anything and all things through him who strengthens us. And so in Psalm 46, as you go on in verses 2 and 3, he says, "We will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. We will not fear." We will not fear. Mountains in this verse may be taken figuratively to represent governments. Waters often is used figuratively to represent peoples or nations. But the point is that no matter what happens around us, no matter what chaos ensues, the rising and fall of difficulties and troublesome times, we do not need to fear because God is our refuge, he is our strength, he is our very present help. Someone said that in the Bible, there are some 365 fear nots. Someone else commented, that's one for every day of the year. So whatever you're going through right now, you can handle it with God as your refuge, with God as your strength and your helper. We need to believe that. That's the first step to handling troublesome times, to know that God is here, that God is with us, in spite of whatever burdens may be coming our way in these troublesome times. A second point we'd make about these troublesome times briefly is that we also need to believe that God is on our side. One of the prevalent thoughts throughout this section of Scripture is that God is with us. He says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. In troublesome times, we need to know that God is in the midst of his city, his people, the church. Verses 7 and 8, he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is with us. That's what the name Emmanuel means, a name given to Christ our Lord at his birth. In the days of civil war, Abraham Lincoln warned that being on the Lord's side is more important than arrogantly assuming that he is on our side. But if he is on our side, and we're on his side, we shall not be moved. God is with us. He will fight for us. As in verse 5, he says, God will help her when morning dawns. Morning is a time when battle is engaged. God has said he will be with his people, he will go with us, and he will help us. Verse 6 describes a battle. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. In troublesome times, God did not then, nor does he now, sit by idly and merely observe the situation. But God is available for to help us and to answer our prayers in keeping with his will. God will be exalted. In all of this, we know, we desire that God be exalted. Psalm 46, verse 10. Sennacherib's mistake was discounting the power of God, saying to Jerusalem and Hezekiah and others that their God could not save them, when in fact, he found himself fighting against God. God is on our side. The scripture says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that you may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? So in tight places or troubling times, God is with us, and he will help us. When we feel hopeless, we must believe that he will answer our prayers, and he will work on our side, accomplishing what is best for us in accordance with his divine will. And finally, one other point. In troublesome times, we must believe that God is actually worthy of our trust. We've already said God is our refuge, that God is our strength. He's our deliverer. He's the one who comes to our rescue and helps us in difficult times. He is with us. He is in our midst. He is on our side. He raises his voice and the kingdoms of the earth melt away. He's worthy of our trust in every circumstance. That's the kind of trust that we need in difficult times. That's the kind of trust that leads us away from fear and discouragement and makes us feel secure. Though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, we will not fear. Though the nations rage and kingdoms tumble one by one, we shall not be moved from the unshakable confidence we have in our God. And why not? Because in Christ, he is in our midst. He is to us that river that makes glad the city of God. So what is there left for us? What can we do in troublesome times? Take a look now at verse 10. He simply says, cease striving and know that I am God. Cease striving means let go and relax. Do you remember when the ancient Israelites had been delivered from Egyptian bondage and how that they were gathered near the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh was fast approaching with their chariots and their soldiers? And they were wondering, and they were very frightened and wondering if they could be delivered. They were in a tight place. Where was God now? Moses quieted the people and said, do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. But what about our troublesome times? What about our heartaches? What about that oppressive burden that you've been called to bear? What about, well, however you might fill that in. The scripture says in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through through him who loved us. Romans 8:37. God is present. He's on our side. He's worthy of our trust. All that remains for us is to flee to him as our rock of refuge and receive the strength and the help that he has promised. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for your word, for the comfort that it gives us. Help us each to look to you for strength, to search your scriptures and find in them the consolation and encouragement we need to live day by day. We pray this through Jesus Christ. Amen.